Babbel.com. Babbel.com.
From the Jethro's Barbecue Studios, where every Tuesday buy 10 wings, get 10 wings free. This is Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. Keith Murphy.
This is your time.
Andy Fails.
Hey, where's the bar? Let's have some drinks here, see what's going on.
It's Brian Allen.
It's the Murphy and Andy Show.
It's a three.
Powered by AD.
We wear caps and sleeves at this level, son.
On 1460 KXNO. And now 106.3 FM.
Hour two of the Murph and Andy Show here on 106.3 KXNO. Alongside Andy Fails, I'm Keith Murphy. AD is powering us up and getting us started with the 2 p.m. trend.
Time to find out what's trending Iowa.
Trending Iowa, the Iowa High School Athletic Association says they are short about 200 officials for the upcoming football season. Director of officials Louis Curtis tells WHO-TV that not having enough refs leads to less experienced officials for varsity football games, and in extreme cases can lead to moving games to a different day.
Well, moving games gets the attention of people. I'm not surprised by this at all. He didn't seem to blame it on parental behavior.
Yeah, it was weird. Griffin did a story on this yesterday morning for Today in Iowa. And yeah, it seemed like this guy was really trying to
Louis Curtis
play that down, which I don't buy that. I think he's being diplomatic here. I think we know that we've heard it from the other directors of officiating, other officiating associations here in Central Iowa, say it's absolutely the parents and the players,
and to some extent the coaches
the abuse that the officials are taking from other people.
Yes, and it's still a small percentage, but it's enough when you factor in the time commitment, the travel,
the retirements,
amount of money they make,
the fact that younger people aren't working like they used to. They're not being the officials who are retiring are not being replaced by the same number of officials entering the field.
This is happening in everything from the military to police and rescue workers. The retiring are not being replaced by young
people. I think that's the biggest drag on the job force too. Is right. I mean, so many people have decided to retire, or early retirement, or just to stop where they are. And they're not being replaced by their head. There's not an incoming generation that's the same size as the outgoing one. So, it's a problem. In watching Griffin's story, they were kind of talking about how the ones that are going to feel it are the JV games, because they're going to pull officials away from those first to keep the varsity games fully staffed. And so those are the games that'll get moved, and then in extreme cases get canceled, because they don't have any officials.
I get it. We've heard and seen enough to know why at this pay and this time commitment. But there are so many who do it and absolutely love it and have a positive experience. I'd like to see a bunch of people sign up for this. It is really cool. Most people do behave.
The owner of the Farrell's location that I go to over in Urbandale, Nick, who is a real good dude and a guy that just constantly works out and is a real confident guy, muscular, strong guy. He umps softball. That's kind of his thing. It's one of his side jobs, and he does a ton of games. Talked to him a number of times about the abuse that he gets.
He gets. Yeah.
I mean, a grown man, guys. I don't know, 6'1", 6'2", big muscular dude. That guy gets abuse constantly from parents at girls' softball games. So, and this is, this is one of those things where I think you could truly say the media is not making this into a bigger deal than it is, because the media has tiny little examples of this to show, videos that were taken. How many times have you witnessed this stuff? Have you heard it from other fans?
A lot. And the misbehavior is kind of crowdsourced, because, like, say somebody says, hey, how come you're not doing a story about how abusive the parents are at this such and such a league? Well, when you show up with a camera from WHO 13, nobody's misbehaving that night. You're not going to get an example on camera. The examples are all from people who get their cell phones out when somebody goes way over the line. And
sometimes it's too late to have captured anything there, and you're just kind of getting the very tail end of it and not the worst of it. But, I mean, people do share that stuff. It does go all around, but I think, and the problem is that you can kind of, you can tell where this comes from. I mean, this is not some, you know, group of extremists out there. These are parents who have spent a lot of money on their kids' youth athletics, from equipment to the tournament fees to the travel, the uniforms, the facilities, and they feel entitled to a certain level of officiating.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them feel like, you know, the officiating should just be better. Other ones just kind of feel, I think they feel they're too personally connected to what their kids are doing on the field. And they say something, or they say it out loud. And then, you know, when they get a fight in the stands, it's parents reacting to other parents.
Yes.
They're not really even taking it out on the officials. They're fighting amongst themselves. And then if officials try to step into it, or officials tell them to get out, you're being a distraction, then they turn it on the officials.
And it's like anything else where confirmation bias plays, whether it's the Cyclone Hawkeye rivalry or the polarization in this country of red versus blue. People don't recognize the bad behavior in themselves that they immediately recognize in others. So if you ask people, including those who misbehave at sporting events and berate the officials, hey, have you ever seen this happen? Somebody who does it himself or herself will say, oh, yeah, I've seen it, and not recognize that they've been one of those people, because when they do it, they feel it's justified. Well, yeah, I know.
But you don't know. You don't know the whole story.
Yeah, you don't know.
They know their whole story.
This was a really bad call. It was an egregiously bad call.
Everybody makes sense to themselves.
Right. Right. Exactly. And there is, and when you have beginners and people new to it, there is some bad officiating out there. Like, I've heard examples. I know somebody who has a kid in a hockey league who said, you know, there were some guys out there who could barely skate that are trying to officiate hockey games.
The one, the instance that we had out there at the West Des Moines Recplex, that guy was like a volunteer. He didn't know anything about hockey. He was just sort of helping out. And that parent went after him, coach.
You got to provide some grace in these cases. Troy, you have a thought on this before we trend on?
Well, one of the perspectives I have in Iowa, when you want to be a coach, you have to take this coaching authorization. You can either do that in your college, but sometimes they offer like a summer course or an online course. It's 50 hours. It's theory of coaching, human growth and development, prevention and care of athletic injuries, and then a kinesiology. What I took that while I was in college, and it gave me a totally different perspective. And then when I went to Texas, I found out that wasn't required for coaches. That actually helped me get a job. But I think that class should be taken by any youth coach, because you learn about different levels that you're coaching. I also think parents would benefit, because I don't think parents know how they're going to feel when they see their child in an athletic competitive setting.
Wow. Yeah. I think you're right about that, Troy.
No, that's a good point. Thank you for that, Troy. Appreciate it. Call us back anytime.
Trending Iowa, Iowa City High's Ben Keeter has won the Junior Men's Freestyle World Championships in Bulgaria with a pin over Turkey's Rifat Gedek at 97 kilograms. Keeter was named the Iowa Male Athlete of the Year for last school year. He's a four-sport athlete and has committed to play football and wrestle at Iowa.
So the scholarship will come from football, which will keep Tom Brands free up another wrestling sometimes. Partial scholarships, they'll divvy it up however they have to. But, man, world champion before your senior year in high school, 70-0, likely four-time state champion. Imagine wrestling this guy. Who you got on the schedule this week? A world champion. You're in high school and your next opponent is a world champion in wrestling. That's intimidating.
So Bulgaria is into its wrestling. Do people go to Bulgaria for other reasons? I don't think so.
I haven't been to wrestle.
I think if you go to Bulgaria, you're packing your singlet. And that's about it. Because what else are you doing over there?
Because I'm not going there and packing a singlet.
It feels too close to Ukraine.
Yeah.
Finally, trending in Iowa, we'll stick with wrestling. Big 12 champion wrestler Brody Teske is transferring from UNI to Iowa. The four-time state champion from Fort Dodge graduated from UNI this summer, making him a grad transfer. He plans to bump up to 133 and has 2 years of eligibility remaining.
What's interesting about this, so Teske, you may recall, started at Penn State.
Yes.
And then he transferred to UNI, where he won a Big 12 championship, mm-hmm. which you have to immediately remind yourself, like, oh, that's right, yeah. UNI wrestles in the Big 12. And now he's transferring again. Well, how can he transfer again? I thought he could only transfer once. Well, he's already graduated college, so he can transfer again. So he's going to Iowa, but he still has 2 years of eligibility remaining because of that COVID bonus. Years.
Yeah, jeez, that's a mess.
That's it for Trending Iowa.
Manti Te'o. Had to remind Andy of that name. Heisman Trophy finalist, Notre Dame linebacker. He was the college football superstar who fell for one of the most famous catfishing scams of all time. So there's a new Netflix documentary that it drops today, as the kids say. Untold.
Is there more than one famous catfishing scheme?
Not to me. There might be. This is the only one I know.
Says one of the most famous?
Well, I don't know the other ones, but
I think we can go ahead and say this is the most famous.
Well, no, I watched that. You told me to watch that thing where the guy is he pretends to be a rich dude. He's got girlfriends all over the world. He starts to get them to pay for things.
Yeah,
like the Thief of Hearts or something like that.
He wasn't catfishing them because he was really there. He was just pretending like he had a lot of money and he was using their money.
This is called Untold, The Girlfriend Who Didn't Exist. I like a title that just puts it out there for you to understand. Like that, what's this about? Well, it's about the girlfriend who didn't exist. Yeah. So you may recall, this is 2012, 10 years ago. And Te'o, who is now married with kids, he reportedly lost his grandma and his girlfriend within hours of each other in 2012. Now, this girlfriend, who he had never seen over a three-year relationship, he had never seen her. She turns out to be a man.
A guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who was just catfishing, a term we didn't know in 2012.
It was a term,
to be somebody else.
Well, there was that documentary that had come out called Catfish,
right?
About a guy who got just royally catfished
with photos that don't match the person that's on the other end of the internet.
It was crazy.
Phone calls,
and many of us had watched that. I think we had watched that before the Manti Te'o thing.
Yes,
and a lot of people had watched it. So this was like just the immediate reaction because people heard the Manti Te'o and they're like, "It's like that catfish movie."
You're right.
It was like you've never heard of this movie until you immediately heard of it.
Yeah.
Because it was like one followed the other pretty closely.
And one of the things that was so hard to figure here, you're like, okay, handsome guy, All-American linebacker at Notre Dame. This is a guy.
Going to the NFL.
Going to be rich.
He can have a real girlfriend.
His options at Notre Dame should be plentiful, just there alone. Why does he have a girlfriend he's never seen in person over a three-year period? And recently, Te'o was at a Jay-Z concert, and Jay-Z said...
Was it really Jay-Z?
It was... yeah. No, it was. It turns out it's a hologram of Jay... No, it was really
Ray
Jay-Z.
P.
He was at a Jay-Z concert. He wasn't catfished. He was there. And Jay-Z said to... You know, to move on with your life, you have to embrace your mistakes and talk about them and get rid of your baggage type thing. So Manti Te'o decided at that point, I'm going to just open up because he's never talked about this. I'm going to open up. I'm going to tell the story. That included going on CBS Mornings today, and it still doesn't add up to me how in 3 years you could never see this person and be devastated about her death. But here's Manti Te'o this morning explaining kind of how this happened.
There are attempts to meet up, right? But then anytime it would come up, there are plane tickets being sent, there were excuses of, oh, a family member isn't feeling well.
Yeah.
Somebody's in the hospital. And for me, I'm not going to be like, well, prove it. You know, it's just
right.
like, okay, I understand. You know what I mean? I hope everything goes well. Let me know. We'll try again later. And so that's kind of how it all went.
It still doesn't make sense to me. You have to see them in person
and
once.
This is before FaceTime, even.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, yeah. And just I think before that.
That's the thing. Like part of, I think,
there's still video chat at that time, but it's not as accessible to everybody.
Part of why it's harder for us to maybe understand is we didn't online date. And so, like, to start a relationship or have a relationship long distance where you don't really see the person is so foreign to us, and I think less so to younger people. Although I still, it's hard to imagine it going
it's
as
really,
long as it went.
It's we're bending over backwards.
I'm trying hard.
Because I was talking this weekend to my son Cade, who lives in Scottsdale, and he's 21. And like any 21 year old, the way you most any 21 year old, you meet people through the dating apps. And he's he had a couple of examples of where something did not turn out to be what you thought it was going to be. And, you know, that's really discouraging. But 3 months, maybe I buy 3 years.
I don't care if you live in an oil rig in the Arctic Circle.
If you
haven't
seen somebody
in
person,
see somebody.
Yeah, 3 years. And you're a Notre Dame All-American linebacker. I'll watch the documentary. I'll try to figure out.
Was he loyal to her for 3 years or him in this case?
He said he was, yeah.
Oh, my God. He wasted college. What did he do?
It's fascinating.
No wonder he was such a good football player.
Will you watch this or will it make you uncomfortable?
I think it might make me. I'll try it, but I'm not going to make any promises. I think it's going to be cringy.
It's a really embarrassing story for him.
Yeah, I do respect and admire that he is talking about this and trying to. Because Jay-Z's right. He's trying to unload the embarrassment that he feels by. But wow, it just
was Jay-Z talking to him
No,
I don't think that Jay-Z would actually tell him this. I think he'd be like, oh, yeah, you just got to
move on.
Keep
dude.
Those skeletons in the closet, man.
Oh, yeah. You
messed up, man.
Yeah, oh, 99, this ain't one. Fernando Tatis Jr. Tested positive. Is it called Clostebol? Clostebol?
It's one of those two.
He claimed he was being treated for ringworm. Now, one more reminder that these multi-$100 million athletes are told over and over and over again, do not put anything in your body without checking with us first. And certainly, this is a known anabolic steroid. His dad, Tatis's dad, says it was fungus in a haircut that went badly.
I'm not sure how those go together.
Well, fungus can lead to ringworm, I guess. I don't know. The family didn't get together on, okay, what's our hard to believe
ringworm
excuse?
Ringworm is a fungus.
Okay, well that's.
But a haircut? If you cut his head or something?
I don't know. What I do know is they didn't have their story straight of the bad excuse for how you tested positive for steroids. Before the season, Tatis injured his wrist on a motorcycle, which is, the Padres are really upset. This guy's
I think that was in his contract, too.
It's a $340 million contract. He's 23 years old.
Gave him a $14-year contract, $340 million to a guy that was 21 or maybe 22 at the time.
Really?
Way too young to give
really
a contract.
Really charismatic. Right, fresh
I
star.
Thought that was a problem, though, the moment they gave him that gigantic contract. It was way too soon.
It was the Kyler Murray of Major League Baseball.
Yeah, it was way too soon. Good comparison. But they had even less on him than Kyler Murray. You saw him through college.
Fernando Tatis
Jr., you knew that he was a great prospect who had a dad who was also a great baseball player. But he grew up in the Dominican Republic. I mean, he wasn't that much of a known commodity. I mean, that was a leap of faith, that contract.
And to be fair to the Cardinals, with the way these NFL contracts are structured, you're kind of backed into a corner of you either pay the money and take the chance, or you say no and you risk that player going somewhere else. and becoming successful and you look ridiculous because the single most important thing in the NFL is an elite quarterback.
Yeah. And it's a little different in the Major League, yeah, in Major League Baseball. I know the Padres have an owner who's wants to be, you know, really proactive and shown that. And
he spent the money. He's gone
after.
Yeah,
I mean, he's got a big three that he, you know, wants locked up and wants there forever. But I mean, at this point, Fernando Tatis Jr. has proven to the Padres that he can't be trusted at this point. I mean, that's really, this is two major strikes in 1 year where they're good.
Yeah, he could be the guy that puts them over the top for they finally win a World Series.
Not
which
playing
is
at all
is.
This year. Not at all this year.
Can't even play at the beginning of next year.
No.
And but he, how much of this money does he have to get back?
Hardly any of it. $2.86 million.
That's the problem. That the it's been this way for a long time. Whether it's Bonds or McGuire or Sosa, the risk is worth it.
Yeah, I mean, it does take a huge, and they're so A-Rod. Young. You probably didn't realize this, but it does take a huge bite out of their legacy. It cripples it for forever. But interesting little side note here: the collectors who have invested in the early success of Fernando Tatis Jr. Ken Golden of Golden Auctions says that when you factor in graded trading cards yet to be graded, and other items in the collectible memorabilia market, the total hit could be upwards of $100 million. So the owner of one of one Tatis Super Fractor card, whatever that is, claims he turned down $2 million for the card at a Philly show last year. Now that card is likely worth around $500,000 and is falling.
AD, can you say Super Fractor on the
Super
show?
I'm bleeping it out as you guys do it.
Hey, we're going to come back on the Murph and Andy Show with more, including where Iowa ranks as a state for living.
It's Murph and Andy's Play of the Day, powered by Prairie Meadows.
Oh, right to Renifo, but he drops it, throws home, and they have the runner on a rundown. And Haggerty's going to score! There was nobody covering home. Mariners take a 3-2 lead. Oh, no.
Visit PrairieMeadows.com for information. It's fun. You can bet on.
Ohtani was great. And the Angels lost. Time to get some more.
If you really want more,
more is brought to you today and every day by Bet Rivers Sportsbook. That's BetRivers.com. Today is National Bratwurst Day. Oh, hell yeah. I'm always in the mood for a bratwurst. You don't ever have to ask me, would you like a bratwurst? Because the answer is yes.
I need to be in the mood for a bratwurst. Once in a while is fine. I don't need one all the time.
Andrew, you love brats,
yeah,
all the time.
Oh, yeah, right? Absolutely.
God, he's from Wisconsin.
Come on.
Yeah, he is. He's a Wisconsinite. That's right. Brats are so great because you can cook them like five different ways, and they're always great. You can just like boil them, and they're awesome.
Yeah.
But, of course, if you boil them like in beer and onions and some mustard, and then you just put them on the grill just to get kind of crispy and snappy,
the best. You have made me hungry for a brat right now.
God, they're good. Mm. Bratwurst is a German compound word.
Brat and worst.
Yeah, well, brat is short for braten, which means fried. And worst is German for sausage, so it means fried sausage, which is a coincidence because they are fried sausages.
Yeah, it's kind of like the Cyhawk thing,
but not really fried.
It's called
like sometimes
it is.
They're grilled. Yeah, it's like a it means it's like Cyhawk.
Yeah.
It's just like that. There's probably somebody just complaining up a
Pat
storm
40
about
hates
the,
it.
Yeah, Pat 40 hates the
Dan
word
Wetzel hates bratwurst.
Hey, Dan Wetzel's got his panties in a twist over bratwurst. Tonight, on the State Fair Grandstand stage, ZZ Top.
I've been up, I've been down, take my word, my way around.
ZZ Top, one of those bands that looked exactly the same for at least 30 years.
Yeah, and well, they look different now because one of them's dead.
Well, he looks different. The other two look the same, I think. Yeah, Frank Beard and
But when you say
Billy
ZZ
Gibbons,
Top always looks the same, and one of them is dead,
I
think there's a hole in your
argument.
What I said
was, and you can roll the tape back, that they were one of those bands that looked the same for about 30 years.
You said
years.
Were?
Yes.
Okay.
I knew Dusty Hill was dead.
Yeah, I know. I know you knew.
Billy Gibbons, though, is kind of the heart and soul of that band. Great blues guitarist. And again, I mean, he's always looked the same, and you've never seen his eyes or his mouth.
He's got a kid. He's got a ZZ Top kid.
He's the ZZ Top kid. He's a living kid. It's got to be a lot of work to live with beards like that.
Oh, yeah, imagine what's living in the beard. It's hard to clean.
I would imagine they
keep
it pretty clean.
You do? Maybe they have a beard. Do you think ZZ Top has a beard guy or a beard gal? It's like, hey, time to clean the beard.
I don't know, man. He's in. If you're singing about cheap sunglasses and sleeping bags, you probably don't have a beard guy. You're singing about how low maintenance you are, essentially, and then all of a sudden, you're a giant hypocrite if you got a beard guy. Use that beard. Man, there's all sorts of beard products out now.
Oh,
You go to the pharmacy.
Chance to make it's a new market, new revenue stream.
Oh, yeah. All kinds of stuff.
So they're using a hologram tonight?
I don't know. Are they?
I don't know.
I suppose they could.
AD, what's the buzz on Alanis Morissette last night?
Great. Everybody loved it, even in the rain.
Yeah, the weather was bad, but I heard a lot of good things about how she sounded.
Anybody make a rain ironic joke?
Rain on your concert day instead of your wedding day.
I saw that on Facebook a few times.
Somebody said that?
Oh, yeah.
Again, not ironic. Like everybody just kind of sucks, but that part, yeah. Heard you sound good.
Good.
40 years ago today, America is just loving this guy.
You know, we left this Ingram place because it was bogus. So if we don't get some cool rules ourselves, pronto, we'll just be bogus too. Yeah?
Very close, Jeff. I think I've made my point with you tonight, huh?
Mr. Hahn, do you have a guy like me in class every year? You know, a guy who you make an example of?
You'll find out next year.
No way. As soon as I cruise history, I'm not coming near your side of the building.
Cruise history?
As soon as I pass your class.
If you pass.
Val, you're going to flunk me?
Don't worry, Spicoli. You'll probably squeak by.
Yeah.
That's just a great performance.
Fast Times at Ridgemont High. So this is crazy. The St. Louis Post-Dispatch, my hometown newspaper, I was reading. It brought out of its archives its original review of this movie in 1982. They hated it. They killed it. As did many people, many film critics. Roger Ebert called it a scuzz pit of a movie. Roger Ebert. Maybe the most respected film critic of all time.
Yeah, Pulitzer Prize.
People hated, or critics hated this movie. Audiences loved it. It did very, very well in the theater. Did even better as it came out onto cable and eventually VHS, probably beta at that point, came out in the video stores.
And it takes a really dark and serious turn for a bit.
It is. I mean, it has some heavy parts. But not only does it have some incredible performances, especially by Sean Penn, who just owns every scene, but Forrest Whitaker is in. He's great. Judge Reinhold is really good.
Yeah, he
Jennifer
is.
Jason Leigh and Phoebe Cates.
She has two great performances.
Yeah. I feel like there's one other really... Oh, Nicolas Cage is in that movie. Anthony Edwards is in that movie. Eric Stoltz is in that movie at small parts.
Yeah.
But it's kind of a who's who. But as it kind of settles on everybody, suddenly everybody realizes, because the kids love it. High school kids that see it love it. I saw it as a junior high school kid, sneaking into, you know, watching it in my friend's basement, you know, after his parents had gone to bed. We weren't allowed to watch it, but we did.
Did you go by the checkerboard slides like Spicoli wore?
The Vans, yeah, I mean, that was crazy. That was funny to think that, I mean, so many of those fads that were going on in California at the time went to the rest of the country, certainly to the Midwest, because of this movie. We didn't have social media at the time passing that around. It was movies that did it. And, yeah, I mean, the Hobie shorts, the Ocean Pacific surfer stuff that kids in St. Louis were wearing, like there's any place to surf in St. Louis. But it settles on everybody that Cameron Crowe knows how to write to this audience. And he proves that time and time again throughout his career. And as he sort of ages, his ability to just, you know, patch his dialogue straight into the pulse of the age group that he's writing to is uncanny.
And he wrote this after he went undercover.
Yeah, right.
He's like 22 years old, but he looked young. So he was able to go in and go to school for, I don't know how long, a month or two as an 18-year-old. And that's what came out of his experience there. And then when people would write about it, they'd be like, this guy gets what kids are actually like. Well, yeah, he just was one of you.
Yeah, but I mean, it took something, a talent like Cameron Crowe to be able to translate that onto the screen, and he's done that so many times in film. Speaking of film, another weekend, another $7.1 million for Maverick. So, we're up to $673.8 million so far. This places the film approximately $5 million behind Avengers Infinity War, which has earned $678.8 million at the domestic box office. Next up for Maverick after that will be Black Panther. It'll probably take that down as it's not too far behind. Eventually, it may get within shouting distance of The Force Awakens, which is still way up on top at $936 million domestic. But this movie just keeps having solid weekends.
People are going back. They're going back to see it a second and third time.
I think it's winning new audiences, too, along the way, where it kind of started off with just everybody that loved the original, and then now is spread out to just sort of a regular audience that maybe didn't even see the original or were too young, but it's just such a solid movie.
Word of mouth, it's the year's only A-plus from CinemaScore.
It's showing. Well, thanks to his uncanny resemblance to Channing Tatum, Australian stripper Will Parfitt is now his country's most requested male entertainer.
Is he with Thunder from Down Under?
Is that a group?
Mm-hmm.
Thunder from Down Under?
Yeah, that's a male review, male stripper show.
Like a touring company?
I don't know if they tour, and I want to be clear, I haven't seen the Thunder from Down Under, but anytime...
You knew about them awfully quickly.
it's every third billboard in Las Vegas. Is the Thunder from Down Under.
Well, see, but out of that vein, bad choice of words there. In that theme, Magic Men, the Magic Men co-owner, I'm so off the point here, I can't remember what I was going to say. Anyway, this Australian stripper says women always ask the same question. How do you not get all turned on stage? And he says, well, we just don't think of it. According to Will, when they're up there on stage and their adrenaline is going, they just keep their mind on their work and they don't get turned on.
Their work? Like gyrating?
They're artists.
Well, yeah. They're art.
They're into their art.
The Thunder from Down Under.
Wallet Hub has just come out with their list of the best states to live in. Do this every year. It's time for a new list. It judges the states on 52 key indicators of livability, breaking them down into several categories, including affordability, economy, education, and health, quality of life, and safety. With that, I give you the top 10 best states to live in. Massachusetts is number one. New Jersey is number two, which... New Jersey has had a bad couple of years. 3 years. Number two on the list, though, New York is number three. Idaho, with a curveball in it, number four. Wow. Not a whole lot in common between Idaho and New York and New Jersey other than this list.
New Jersey needs a good PR firm or something. It's shocking that number two.
They're going to take this list and run with it. This is a big one. Virginia, New Hampshire, Florida.
Hang on. It sounded like you said Florida.
Yeah, it is. In the top 10 solidly. Then Wyoming. Another state that I'm surprised is in there, although it's absolutely beautiful. Minnesota is always a solid bet to win the Midwest category.
Really?
And then Wisconsin at number 10. Iowa is 16 on the list. for those who want to know.
That's a decent showing.
And now the worst states. We'll do all the entire bottom top 10 and start with West Virginia, Kentucky, Alabama, Oklahoma, South Carolina. You could fill out the rest of this at home.
You can, but again, as a reminder that West Virginia shouldn't be in the Big 12, should be in the SEC.
SEC, yeah. South Carolina, New Mexico, just begging to be let into the SEC or into this bad states list. Arkansas, Louisiana, Alaska.
Alaska.
Also kind of knocks on the door of this list every now and then. And then Mississippi is the worst state in America.
That's not a title you want.
No, you don't want that. Let's see here. It's time for someone on Reddit. Let's play someone on Reddit.
Someone on Reddit.
Someone on Reddit posted, my brother only eats the cheese packets in the instant mac and cheese. Then puts it back on the shelf.
This guy should be arrested.
I should be deported.
Yeah.
Get him out. I don't want him breeding in this country.
Yeah. This is natural selection. This guy's out.
Says he just tears open the packet and sprinkles it into his mouth.
This guy's a weirdo.
And then leaves the pasta.
Next thing you know, he's going to be spreading this cheese on women's feet.
That's the only way you could make it sound more disgusting, but you did it. I don't think there's anything natural in that powder at all, right? I mean, nothing.
No.
Absolutely nothing.
No.
So others chimed in with weird food habits of their housemates, siblings. Ice cubes and cereal. Somebody's brother.
It's like water on cereal.
Somebody eats hot dogs horizontally. I guess that would be like eating it... like a typewriter?
I don't understand what that means.
What's the point? Well, you take it sideways and then you eat the bun from the top.
Yeah, that's
like
just,
toppings first.
Just eat the hot dog. Yeah,
they're really trying to eat it like a sandwich, I guess. Drinking the leftover pickle juice.
I do this.
My wife does this.
Yeah, it's great hydration.
People say it's the best hangover cure. They top the pizza with M&Ms. That's gross.
Well, have you tried dessert pizza with M&Ms?
But that's dessert pizza. That doesn't have a tomato sauce.
It's got to be dessert pizza.
Put orange juice on cereal. How about that, Andrew? Do you be up for that? You're the one that still thinks milk is so repellent.
Anything you put on cereal is going to ruin it. So, yeah, orange juice is just as logical as milk to me.
Why do we bring him into these conversations? He added nothing.
He's been mad since we said he's from Wisconsin.
I have been mad. I've been getting texts.
Spread peanut butter on scrambled eggs.
I put peanut butter on just about anything. I'm willing to try this.
Yeah, maybe. Eat at their desk rather than taking a lunch break. Well,
I've done this a thousand times every single day.
And then finally, dip French fries in Wendy's Frosties, though.
I've heard this is a good deal.
Jody likes to do this. She likes this.
Yeah, a lot of people like I've heard French fries in milkshakes.
This is kind of popular. Yeah. That's your more, everybody.
Spencer Petras makes a good point.
With the Circus Sports app.
Time for the Andrew Downs audio drop of the day. It is the AD Square.
Powered by Fiscus Jewelers in Ankeny. And Iowa had their football media day last Friday. Spencer Petras, he knows that everybody's questioning him. He knows that the big question on the team this year is his play in that quarterback position and what that offense can do. And he made a nice analogy at media day. This is audio from Jack Lito of KCRG.
But it's like, you know, let's say you're writing an article, right? And how do you write the best article you can? Do you look at, oh, like, Chad Lysakel's writing this or Scott Doctrine's writing that? Like, that's not how you write a good article, is it? No, you focus on the article. And you focus on giving your best, giving your everything to that article. And then you publish it. And if it's good, it's good. If it's not, oh, well. But right now I'm just focused on writing a great article.
That's a hell of a metaphor, right?
Yeah, thanks. I thought about it in the bathroom, actually, like 5 minutes ago. So,
nice.
Yeah.
Well, right up to the bathroom part. No, that is good. That's very well put. You can't worry about what somebody else is doing. You have to worry about what you're doing.
See why people are rooting for this guy.
Absolutely.
You know, he seems like such a good dude. Just hope he has a good year.
Good leader. Good guy. Ugh, boy, just haven't seen him make the throws he need to make to be really great. But we'll see. I hope so, too. Like most people do, he's easy to cheer. the quickie poll results from WCI Pools and Spas.
Where would you rather see your college football team ranked in the preseason AP poll? 51% say
25.
26. Hmm. Just out of the rankings. Under the radar. Sneak up behind you.
Right. This is how you
bite
vote.
You in the ankle.
It's how many people vote when you're not ranked.
Yeah. 49% say number 25. What do you think of Cyhawk nickname for the Iowa State football game and series? 60% say it's fine. 31% say great, love it. Only 9% say it's awful, change it.
Chander Bowerman writes to the Royal Mile inbox. They spent 2 weeks on the road opening for ZZ Top. He can confirm Billy Gibbons does not have a beard guy, but he does wear the same pajamas every day until showtime. Really down-to-earth guy, super friendly.